The last few weeks in the adult Bible study, we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer. And so it kind of got me thinking about the forgiveness stuff, and that's why we kind of started that talking about that last week. And the words of Jesus are profound and moving, and you know, we know them. And many of us grew up even just praying this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven those our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We've prayed it for years. Forgive us our debts. It's what we talked about last week, is forgive us our debts. God, forgive us our debts. And he does, powerfully, completely, and at great cost to himself. He forgives our debts. And he does it over and over again. That's the nature of relentless grace. Over and over and over again. But part of the prayer that we grew up praying, the part of the prayer that Jesus prays, is a teaching that flows from the other side. You know, we say, God, forgive us our debts, but it flows out from us, doesn't it? And it says, as we forgive those who have debts against us, right? As we forgive our debtors. And see, that takes it to a whole different level. Because forgiveness is difficult. I would say forgiveness is a difficult concept, not because we don't understand it, but because we do understand it. We understand completely what Jesus is saying when he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We understand that absolutely completely, but whenever he says it, we kind of wince, don't we? We kind of recoil inside, because when he says that, something pops into our head. I don't know if you realize this, but I've been doing some mind reading recently. And I'm getting something right now, that there's somebody over here in this section who's, when Jesus said forgive, you thought, somebody's name popped into your head that owes you money, right? Wait. And there's somebody in this section who they had a friend betray them. And over here, there's been divorce. I see divorce. Am I some genius mind reader? No. Not even close. Why? Because that's all of our stories. It doesn't matter where you are, who you're talking to. That's our stories. You know, nobody's amazed at that. You know, God's grace is relentless. He forgives us over and over. But whenever it comes to us forgiving other people, our grace is relented. Our grace, our first thought, whenever we hear Jesus say, forgive, our first thought is, not me. I'm not going to forgive. Our first thought is to figure out a way to stop forgiving. You know, grace flows freely to us, but our first thought is to stop it. Now, you know, I tried to make kind of a joke about it, but it's really not that funny. Because whenever we hear Jesus say, forgive, some of the things that pop into your heads are things that make my skin crawl. Things so horrible. Some of you have been hurt so deeply. And you are thinking, when Jesus says forgive, you are thinking there is no way. I want to say to you, whenever we're talking this morning, I'm not coming to you as somebody who's got it all together. I am a work in progress because I have people in my life that I am working to forgive. I have people in my life for whom forgiveness is very much a work in progress. There are people in my life who have hurt me so deeply, I cannot begin to even, I wouldn't even talk about it in this kind of a context. There's no way. There are people who, whenever I see them, I instantly relive the pain that they have caused me. I have people for whom I try to pray, and I'm not overly successful. I've not gotten past the whole, you know, I've not gotten to the point where I pray that a truck doesn't hit them, you know. And the deepest that my prayers get for them is, God, teach me to forgive. So if at any point during this sermon, which if this service is anything like the first service, it'll be just this dead quiet the whole time. And so if that feels uncomfortable, you got to be here. If at any point you're thinking, gosh, you know, he sounds a little holier than thou, like he's got it all together, just understand that's my own kind of defensive mechanisms coming out. And I hope you'll see it for what it is and forgive me. But hey, if you don't, hey, we're all in that boat. Forgiveness is difficult because all of us walk around with scars. Some of us have open wounds, but those scars hurt. And so when Jesus says, forgive, we want it qualified. In other words, whenever Jesus says forgive, we want to know that our situation is an exception. And that we don't have to forgive. In fact, whenever we talked about this in Sunday school just a few weeks ago, I bet it was a complete 15 minutes, and if Rob, who was teaching it, would have let it go on, it would have gone the entire time, because by the time he got out of his mouth, Father, forgive us as we forgive our debtors, immediately we started sticking our hands up, and if we didn't do it in person, we did it in our brains, to say, but you don't understand, my situation is different. Here's why I don't have to forgive. And it's like we're asking for 15 minutes. It's going around. And it's like we're asking, we're saying, teacher, tell us why we don't have to obey what Jesus is saying. Please tell us, give us a pass. Tell us that I can justify my own position, why I don't have to forgive. Forgiveness is tough. Let me tell you, here's why it's so difficult. Because sin is messy. It's so difficult. A man comes home, finds his wife in bed with somebody else. They try to work it out. They go to counseling. But eventually she decides she wants to have a boyfriend. And so they decide it's divorce. And she takes him to the cleaners. Jesus says, forgive. That's why it's so tough. You know, you have a son who you have taken care of since birth. And you have loved him. You've poured into his life. And somehow, whenever he became a teenager, he lost his mind. And he began to say things that were so unkind. And he everything you did for him, he threw back in your face. Now he doesn't even talk to you anymore. Jesus says, forgive. That's why it's so tough. Best friend's never been good at managing money. You've helped him out time and time again, and you've just gotten to the end of your rope, and you're saying, it's got to stop. And you sit down, and you say, I can't help you anymore. And he gets mad. He says, I can't believe it. It was only $100. I need you to give that to me. And you don't realize for a couple of weeks that while you were there, he took your checkbook and he's been writing checks on your account. And Jesus says, forgive. Your dad was a drunk. The time you can remember, he beat you up. All you wanted from dad was love, and all you got was abuse. When you were 18, you were out of there. No matter what, you're gone. You didn't look back, nothing. He found you on the internet. He's standing in front of you. He's weeping. He says, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Forgiveness is a lot harder in real life than it is in theory. It's pretty easy for me to stand up and say, forgive, forgive, forgive. You got to forgive. If you want to be a Christian, you got to forgive. It's another thing to actually practice it. In fact, this is a tough topic for me because if I'm honest in even the littlest, if I'm even just a little bit honest, I struggle hard with this one. And as soon as I think I've got it whipped, it jumps back out at me. And so if I'm handling this in a glib way at some point, call me on it because forgiveness is never clean and it's never painless. And yet it is for followers of Jesus, this is vital. We've got to, we have to learn to forgive. So let's get some perspective on how important it is for us to forgive. And we're going to kind of flip around a little bit. So let's turn to Mark chapter 11. And I just want to, just a couple of places to show you how serious this is. I've never quite fully understood this passage. But here, verse 23. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, but does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you will receive them, and they will be granted to you. I got to tell you, I don't understand that entirely. I don't entirely get what he's saying. I could be dense, whatever. I don't understand that. But when Jesus wants to tell us what he means, when he wants us to understand exactly what he's saying, take a look at the example he gives. The very next verse. He says, whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive your transgressions. So Jesus says, if you ask God anything, anything, he'll forgive you. Anything. He will grant it to you. But you want to know what the really tough thing to ask is? Forgiveness. And if you're going to ask it, you better be giving it. That's what he says. He says, if you've got anything against anyone, you have to forgive them. They owe you money. They've hurt your feelings, abuse. Forgive them. That's what Jesus says. So our forgiveness from God is connected with our ability and our willingness to forgive other people who have wronged us. And I think that's pretty interesting. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. And this is the passage that we've been looking at in the Sunday school. And it's this prayer. And Jesus' disciples ask Jesus to pray. When he tells them how to pray, this is what he says. He says, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. We've all recited that prayer. We've all said it. But he says, forgive us our debts as we have forgive our debtors. We've said that to God. We've said to God, give us forgiveness as we forgive other people. We've said, you give to us like we give out. That's a dangerous prayer if you're harboring a judge, if you're harboring a grudge. Dangerous prayer to pray. It's dangerous if we pray that prayer and we think somewhere in our souls that we have a right to make somebody else pay for what they've done. And just in case you didn't catch it, Jesus kind of reiterates the point, makes it a little clearer. Verse 14, he says, "And if you forgive other people for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you." He didn't really need to add this, but he does anyway. Verse 15. "But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." Did you catch that? It's a direct connection. A little scary. Scares the crud out of me. It's a lot scary to me. Paul's dealing with that in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 is dealing with it in the context of the church. Beginning in verse 12, he says, "So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all of these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." Forgiveness is a part of who we are as a body, as a church, as a congregation. It's who we are. And our response to each other is to love them and to forgive them. That we should look at our own lives and see how grace has happened to us and forgive other people in that light. Paul's talking about this in light of the church. I mean, how many times have you seen churches that squabble over Miss, I think I'm in charge, doesn't get her way, and so she's angry, and nobody steps up to forgive, and nobody steps up. And so the whole church is in turmoil. It's because you've got to have forgiveness. It's the way that it works. That's where unity comes from. It's the key to the whole thing. The church can't function without forgiveness. And I don't know why it should surprise us. It's the way it is in all of our relationships. Like in our marriage, you know, what do you do when your wife doesn't live up to all that you want her to be? You know, what do you do when your husband blows up at some insignificant thing? Or does your wife ever say things that she shouldn't? Or does your husband ever, when you're wanting to talk to him, want to watch TV more than he wants to listen to you? Or has your wife ever lied to you? Or what is it? Whatever the list is, how do you go on with your marriage? How do you push on in the face of these kinds of relational sin? How do you do that? Because these kinds of hurt are incompatible with a happy marriage. So how do you do it? And especially if it ever has ever happened more than once, and it has. So how do you do it? How do you fix it? Because what's happened can't be undone. The way you fix it is with forgiveness. It's the only way that you grant them grace, and so your marriage goes on. But I'm telling you, if you bump up against this enough and you decide, I am not forgiving this one, then you might as well call the attorneys, because it's over. It's over. That's what forgiveness does. It's no different in church. It's no different in any other relationships that we have. If everyone in this room who was wronged by somebody else in this room left, we'd be empty, right? Be like everybody went camping or something. But every single one of us has felt the sting of someone else's sin. In this room, the slash of gossip, a cutting tongue, a business deal gone bad, somebody who's not shown up to do what they agreed to do, and so you had to fill in. There's all kinds of things that go on here, and the only way that we can maintain fellowship together, the only way that we can remain a church and sit in this room together, is by forgiveness. is to be brothers and sisters. That's the only way to forgive. And it's not easy. So let's make a couple of observations about forgiveness. That kind of gives us the scriptural background. Let's make a couple observations. First of all, forgiveness is not an option. Now, I know that's kind of a hard thing to hear, but we can't hold grudges. We're not allowed to. We can't hang on to the anger and the sins that have been leveled against us. We cannot live there. But if we want, because if we want to be forgiven, then we have to forgive. If we want grace from God, if I want God's grace, then I can't make you pay for the sins that you did against me. I have to release you from that. More than once I've said, I'll forgive them, but I will never let them get close to me. I will never, it'll never be the same. I will always be angry. I will always feel this pain. You know what? Somewhere inside me, whenever I see them, I still see their sin. Feel the pain all over again. I won't let them around because of the pain that they've caused me. And something tells me that's not real forgiveness. It's not forgiveness the way that God forgives. I don't think it's my job to qualify what I'm supposed to do in terms of forgiveness. If I'm going to continue to walk with this person, then I have to forgive them. If I'm going to walk with God, I have to forgive them. Now, I would stake my reputation as a mind reader on the fact that everybody in this room is scrambling right now to figure out why their pain doesn't count. You know, why the sins that were done against them don't count. You don't know my father. You don't know what he said to me. You don't know what she did. You don't know how much it hurt. You don't know the pain the gossip caused. Hear the words of Jesus. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Hear the words of Jesus. Forgiveness is not an option. And forgiveness is costly. Remember, Jesus uses this in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Lord's Prayer. He uses a word, debt. Some translations call it transgression, but it's actually an accounting term, you know, that you owe me something. And it's a debt owed to us. When somebody sins against us, they owe something. They've stolen something from us. They've taken something, whether it's stuff or honor, or they've taken some of our reputation, or whatever they steal from us, they can't pay it back. They might be able to give back the dollars, but they can't give back what they lost, what they took from you. If it's your reputation, if the rumors have damaged you, no amount of recanting by the offending party will actually undo the damage that was done. The one who bears the weight of that offense is you. No one else. Every time you forgive, it costs you. You are the one who bears the price of that forgiveness. There's a passage in Scripture that says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Now, that passage is talking about the sacrificial system. Ultimately, it's talking about Jesus, and that unless he, without the shedding of his blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. But I think it applies to us as well. And that is that forgiveness that costs you nothing is not possibly even real. It's like whenever your kids are fighting and you say, Johnny, come here. And you tell Matt, you're sorry. I'm sorry. Okay. What does that mean? It means nothing. Absolutely nothing. There's no cost and it's not real. Real forgiveness costs. It costs blood. It means that if your wife has an affair and you forgive her, you can't hold it over her the rest of her life. That's what it means. You take that pain on yourself and you bear it. It takes blood to carry that. It means that no matter how much it hurts, you take that on and you don't pass it back. It takes blood. Forgiveness always costs. So I was thinking, what we need are three steps to forgiveness. First, there are no three steps. They don't exist. And anybody who tells you they do is not talking about their pain. I guess it's pretty easy. I can tell you, here's three steps to for you to forgive. But if it's my pain, those three steps don't exist. Forgiveness always costs. You see, I can't give you three easy steps, but what I can give you, and I think that I know the key to forgiveness, because when Wendy sins against me, I don't have any problem forgiving her. When my children sin against me, I don't have any problem forgiving them. And the reason is simple. I love them. I love my wife, and I love my kids. And the only way, no matter how costly it is, the only way that we can go on is for me to forgive them. And I cannot stand the thought of life without them. And so I must forgive. It's because I love them. The only way to forgive is to first love. Remember that if you sum up all of the Old Testament, it's love God, love people. That's it. That's the key to this. You love God and you love people. If you love somebody, you want to forgive them. That's the heart of the whole thing. Whenever we read the Colossians passage, he talks about putting on forgiveness and putting on love. And forgiveness is the natural working out of that love. I've had lots of disappointments with church people, and there have been people who've hurt me really, really deeply. But I can look back. Sometimes I've done a great job of forgiving them. Sometimes I've done a horrible job. But there was this guy whenever I was in Tuttle. He was an elder. His name was Gary. And he was strong-willed. He was very opinionated. And he was sold out to Jesus. And from the time I arrived, he was both a good leader and a pain in the side. He'd gone to work for Southwestern Bell right out of high school, and he had worked his way up into management, and he had gone higher than anybody else had gone without a degree, and he was over lots of people, and he got a ton done in Southwestern Bell. All kinds of awards on his walls and all that stuff. Well, the way he managed people was that he dressed them down. His view of management is if somebody made a mistake, you brought them up front and you made them feel as small as you could, and he said they would never do that again. Well, whenever I came on board, he thought his job was to manage me, and he did it just that way. And so for several years, I took that, and I was so angry with Gary, and I was angry with myself for not being able to set aside that anger, but I was so angry with him. And finally, genius that I am, after several years, are you catching that this is a long period of time? I took this to the elders, and I said, I can't take this. They said, well, we're having an elders retreat. Let's make that the focus of it. So we went on this elders retreat. And that weekend, Gary and I connected heart to heart, man to man. And he had no idea what he was doing to me. He had no idea the things that he had said to my wife. He had no idea. And he spoke to me as a man, as a brother. And that weekend, we knew we loved each other. And it changed everything. That from that moment, I began to forgive him. Now, it didn't happen. It didn't click. We still had our tough moments. But in there, there's repentance and forgiveness. And it cost me blood because I took all of that pain. And I did not make him pay for it. It was hard. But to this day, if I go to Tuttle, he's one of the first people that I see. And the key for me was to love him, to really love him. And it made me want to forgive him. And the process with Gary took 5 or 6 years to do. And yet, here's how complete that is. If he moved to Hillsboro and he came to Singing Hills, it wouldn't be very long before I said, we need to look at Gary as an elder. That's what forgiveness looked like for me. Let me give you the greatest thought and the greatest motivation for forgiveness. However difficult forgiveness is, we have to remember that we have been forgiven. So here's the greatest motivation for our forgiveness: Jesus. And remember that his forgiveness of us cost blood. That he sat down with his disciples around a table with his closest friends and want to share this meal with them. And one of them would betray him. And one of them would deny him. And one of them sold him out. And they came and arrested him. And they bound him and they drove him into the trials. And one trial after another, they beat him, they spit upon him, they lied about him. They convicted him. They marched him up a hill and they nailed him to a cross. Does that make you angry? You think that made Jesus angry? You think it was an offense? They beat him. They nailed him to a cross. That's reason to be angry. That's sin against them. And his response is, Father, forgive them. Forgiveness. It's the heart of what Jesus came to do. It is costly. It cost him his blood. It cost him his life to forgive. But the call is to forgive as we have been forgiven. You know, how many times have you come to Jesus and said, I messed up again? I lost my temper again. I've sinned again. And again and again and again, you come and you say, I will never do that again. And again and again and again, Jesus says, I forgive you. That is relentless grace. How many times have we betrayed him and denied him, lied, whipped him, beat him, nailed him to a cross, and again and again and again, he says, I forgive. I think that when Jesus says, if you forgive somebody, forgive them 70 times 7, I think Jesus knows what he's talking about. I think he knows what he's talking about with me. The reason that he forgives? The reason that you and I have been forgiven? How about John 3:16? For God so, what? Loved that he gave his only begotten Son. Loved. It begins with love. He made provision for us long before we thought about repenting, didn't he? Long before we asked for forgiveness, he made provision for our forgiveness. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Now, I don't know about you, but it compels me to forgive. It drives me to do it. And I don't know how, in light of Jesus, I don't know how to justify the grudges that I hold. And like I said in the beginning, I'm a work in progress. I wish I could tell you I had it all figured out. I don't. I am desperately trying to forgive people. I am desperately trying to learn this. And I trust that God knows my heart. And one of these days, He knows that I will have the love that it takes to forgive the people around me like I should. And until that moment, I am pressing on. I am just keep going. I know that there are hurts in this room that are so very deep that forgiveness seems a long way off. And it is tough. And I know that it's tough. And so I hope that you don't take my message as discouraging. Because I know I have things that I have not forgiven. Things that are hurt too deep. But here's the deal. I hear people say, I've been hurt so deep, I will never forgive them. And let me tell you something. That's the exact opposite of what Jesus is saying. That is 180 degrees. That's exactly what he's talking about. That's exactly what we're talking about. If you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. That's what he's talking about. There's a difference between that and saying, this is so big, I don't know how to forgive. But I'm willing to go down that road. God, teach me to forgive. And so I'm asking you, I'm begging you, start down this road of forgiveness. Whatever it takes, you know, start the process. Ask God to take away your pain. Ask God to show you how to forgive. Ask God to help you to love people so much that you are compelled to forgive. I'm way over. I'm way done. Let me leave you with just this. Love as you have been loved, and forgive as you've been forgiven. Let's stand.